How's everybody doing today? Good?
Good?
All right. I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 23. And we're going to start in verse 20. One of my favorite chapters in the Old Testament, talking about David's mighty men. And we're going to be talking about one guy in particular this morning, Benaiah. The title of the sermon this morning is How to Survive and Thrive When Opportunity Roars. 2 Samuel 23, and we're going to start in verse 20. It says, Benaiah was a son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man from Kabzeel, who had done many deeds. He had killed two lion-like heroes of Moab. He also had gone down and killed a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day. And he killed an Egyptian, a spectacular man. The Egyptian had a spear in his hand, so he went down to him with a staff, wrested the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and killed him with his own spear. These things Benaiah the son of Jehoiada did, and won a name among three mighty men. He was more honored than the 30, but he did not attain to the first three, and David appointed him over his guard. Let's pray this morning. Father God, we just thank you for your word. Father, I ask you just to open up the hearts and minds of people this morning. Father, let it not be my words, but let it be your words this morning. God, we love you and we thank you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Has anybody looked at you before and said, are you crazy? Has anybody looked at you and said, have you lost your mind? I had that happen several times whenever I was growing up, especially when I was doing things that I wasn't supposed to do. See, we didn't have video games and stuff like that, so we were out in the woods most times, running around and doing different stuff. And one of our favorite things that we liked to do was play war. Now, that's probably not PC right now, but we used to get out in the woods and we would hide and do stuff. Now, the craziest thing that we ever did, we did it with BB guns. That is when my mama came to me and said, have you lost your mind? Where did you get that idea from? I think in life we've all done crazy things. I think in life, somebody has asked us at one point, even jokingly, has asked, have you just lost your mind? Yeah, I can think of a time where we went to camp at the beach. I don't remember what year it was. Emily Miller was there with us, and we went to this amusement park thing, and they had this ride there. I don't know if y'all have seen this thing, but I mean it's like a swing. It's on a slingshot, basically a rubber band. And they pull this thing down and they let it go and it shoots you like 1,000 feet in the air. Okay? Alright? I'm not good with rubber bands. I don't want to bungee nothing. I don't want to tie it to my ankle. I don't want to tie it to Emily's like, oh, you gotta ride this with me. And I went, okay, sure, I can do that. And when I wanted to ask her, have you lost your mind? But she does it. That's her. And I'm proud of Emily for that because it's just a great thing. But we didn't have to ride it that day because I prayed and God shut the ride down that day. So we didn't have to do it. So you might say that would have been my moment there. So, but we have times in our lives where we need to do things out of the ordinary. And that's what Benaiah did. We're going to talk about that this morning. Let me tell you this story. On September the 11th, 2001, four airplanes were hijacked by terrorists bent on evil. Now, two of the planes crashed into the Twin Towers in New York City. And one of them crashed in a field in the Stony Creek Township of Pennsylvania. And one plane crashed into the west side of the Pentagon. The thing about it is, the natural instinct for those inside those buildings that day was to get out. But on that day, there were heroes who didn't run out. They ran into the burning buildings to help those in need. One of them was a man by the name of Lieutenant Colonel Ted Anderson. He attends services at Capitol Hill Baptist Church. He's still there today. Mark Batterson is the pastor there, one of my favorite pastors to listen to and to read stuff on. But one account captures his story this way. Anderson acted like a man possessed. It said as others ran for their lives, he sprinted from his office toward the point of impact. Spreading his jacket over shards of glass on a windowsill, Anderson had a non-commissioned officer named Chris Bramman boost him into the collapsing building. Together, they carried out two women, one of them unconscious and the other badly burned. Over the next hour, as the rest of the world looked on in shock and horror, Ted Anderson returned to the blaze over and over again. And at one point, he and Brahman were low-crawling through the inferno, screaming to be heard above the roar. Arlington County firefighters finally restrained Lieutenant Colonel Anderson, not allowing him to re-enter the Pentagon. They probably saved his life because it collapsed a few minutes later. See, Ted Anderson stayed there all day in part because his keys were still on his desk inside the Pentagon. Couldn't go anywhere. That night, the building superintendent let him go in and get his keys. He drove home and he listened to 52 messages on his answer machine, took a shower, and he cried for 30 minutes and tried to get some sleep. His phone rang at 1 a.m. and it was his boss who said, "I can't sleep. Let's go to work. Put your battle uniform on." So in the middle of the night, they were headed back to the Pentagon because they knew we were at war. See, that's what soldiers do. That's who soldiers are. If you want to understand David's mighty men in 2 Samuel 23, you need to understand what drives a man like Lieutenant Colonel Ted Anderson to run back into the Pentagon, to run toward danger, to run to the roar. In Ted's words, "We had people inside, and it's the nature of a military guy that we never leave anyone behind." That's the way we need to be as Christians. We don't ever need to leave anyone behind. Jesus wants us to bring everybody with us when we go to heaven. We need to be a lion chaser like Benaiah. See, David's mighty men weren't the kind of men who would run away from what they were afraid of. These were boot camp trained, battle tested brave hearts, and their stories are some of the most epic, most heroic stories in the entire Bible. Josheb faced 800-1 odds, but he stood his ground. Eleazar fought until his hand froze to his sword. And when the rest of the army retreated, Shammah took his stand in a field of lentils. And then there was Benaiah. This is where we pick up the story. It says, "There was also Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, a valiant warrior from Kabzeel, and he did many heroic deeds, which included killing two champions of Moab. Another time, on a snowy day, he chased a lion down into a pit and killed it. Once, armed only with a club, he killed a great Egyptian warrior who was armed with a spear, and Benaiah wrenched the spear from the Egyptian's hand and killed him with it." Deeds like this made Benaiah as famous as the three mightiest warriors that David had. He was more honored than the other members of the 30, though he was not one of the three, and David made him his captain of his bodyguard. Let's think about it this way. Point number one. Normal people do not chase lions. Would you agree with that? If we went to the zoo today, and I said, "Okay, why don't you jump over that fence and go mess with that lion?" How many of you would do that? You're a brave man. You would get eaten, but you're a brave man. All right? That's not something normal. They have those fences up for a reason, right? You know, and I've talked to people that have gone over to Africa on safari and stuff like that. And it's a very eerie thing because some of them, I talked to somebody, they actually got to go out and camp in a tent during the night. And they could hear those lions roaring in the dark. And that's a very eerie feeling when you know that there's something out there that can eat you. Because guess what? We're not that high on the food chain. Okay? You got to remember that. You got to be cautious. Normal people do not chase lions on snowy days. Okay? I don't believe that's something that I want to do. Normal people do not jump into a pit with a lion where there is no escape. See, the snow. You can't get out if you jump down in the pit because it's going to be too slick. Okay? But you will find normal people on the sidelines of life and ministry applauding lion chasers. I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you to come off the sidelines. I want you to become a lion chaser. I want you to take a risk of jumping into a pit and slay your lion. I don't know what your lion is today. It could be something as simple as teaching a VBS class. Or maybe sharing your faith. Or maybe teaching a Sunday school class. But I want to share with you today, I want to challenge you to get off the sidelines, to get out of the pew, to do what God has made you to do. We need to take that risk. We need to take the risk of jumping into the pit and slaying that lion, because here's the thing. Your God-given opportunities only come out of the pits of life. Because we're going to go through situations, aren't we? We're going to go through things. I've said this before. Corey's home church pastor always said this. He said, you know, we don't have problems in life. We have opportunities. And we need to remember that. See, lion chasers have learned to face their fears, and they chase lions as Benaiah did. Benaiah's name was made for it. It meant built of Jehovah, or the Lord has built up. Okay? He wasn't Ford tough, he was Lord tough. You got to put it that way. That's what his name meant. It meant the Lord built up, so he was there for a purpose, all right? We've been built by God to chase lions, okay? There are two reasons why a lion will roar. First, to claim that he is king in his territory, and secondly, to put fear into the heart of everyone who dwells in his territory. I told you when a lion roars, it's real eerie. Well, I looked it up a few years ago. One of the unique things about a lion's roar is you don't know what direction he's coming from. He can actually throw his voice. That's how they're made. They roar so loud and in such a high-tuned effect that you have no idea from what direction that lion is coming from. Isn't that like us in life? We don't know where those problems are coming from. We just have to stand our ground and we have to put our trust in Christ that He's going to be there to help us out. Because it says it in Scripture that the devil is compared to a lion, okay? 1 Peter 5:8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." That's what he wants to do. He wants to devour us. He wants to eat us alive. But we need to stand firm and we need to say, "Hey, I am a child of God. I have His Spirit in me. And Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And nothing that Satan can do will be against me." We have to remember that. See, the devil is still walking about on the earth roaring like a lion. You can look at that today. Just some of the things that we see out there. He's attempting to put fear into the hearts of God's people so he may continue to exercise his domain in the territory that God says is yours. See, the devil is hoping that his roar will chase you away from pursuing what God has for your life. What God has for your dream, your calling, your destiny, your blessing. The devil does not want you to have that. But here's the thing. We must conquer our fears and excuses if we're going to become lion chasers. And we need to be willing to jump into the pits of life to slay that lion that we face. The first thing we need to do is we need to conquer our fears. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." Proverbs 22:13 says this, "The lazy man says, 'There's a lion outside, I shall not be slain in the streets.'" See, too many Christians are hiding in the church in fear of the roar of the lion outside. We need to go out there. We need to stand up for what we believe. Aren't you tired of just tolerating things? I know I am. I get tired of it. I get tired of people fussing at me because of my beliefs, but they can say whatever they want to. My God has not given me a spirit of fear. He has given us power. We need to remember that. But we just sit there. But here's the thing. The people that are hiding in church in fear of that roar, they fail to realize this. 1 John 4:4 says this, "Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." We don't have anything to worry about. God is saying, "I got you." If you're standing up for me and for what we believe in, God, He says, "I have you." Okay? Think about this. Psychiatric reference books state that there are approximately 2,000 classified fears. Psychiatrists also teach that we are born with only two innate fears, a fear of falling and a fear of loud noises. That means that all of the other categories of fears have to be learned. Think about that. And I know we're afraid of lots of stuff. I don't like snakes. I can tell you that right now. You throw a snake on me, I will lose my mind. I'm telling you that. My motto has always been, any good snake is a dead snake. And they go, "Oh, you need to look at it and see if it's going." No, I look at it after it's dead. If it's in my vicinity, I'm going to kill it. But we have these fears, but they're learned. For too long, we've allowed the devil to be our teacher, teaching us how to live in fear instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to teach us how to live by faith and to become a lion chaser. Second thing is we need to conquer our excuses, especially the ones that gets us to believe the lie of not moving in faith because conditions are not perfect. Guess what? Conditions are never going to be perfect. If you become a Christian because you say, "I want to live a perfect life," being a Christian is not living a perfect life. Jesus never told His disciples that everything was going to be perfect after He left. And we have to remember that. But we've got to conquer our excuses. Benaiah chased and jumped into the pit to slay the lion on the snowy day. Not a day of being sure-footed when facing a lion. Not perfect conditions for slaying a lion. Okay? I don't know if there's any perfect conditions for slaying a lion, to tell you the truth. Unless maybe you had a grenade launcher or a tank or something like that. I don't know. But it wasn't perfect conditions. Ecclesiastes 11:4 says this, "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap." See, what God has called us to do, what God has called us to become, are not to be based upon the conditions that we face. Rather, it's based upon the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ." What's the hymn that we sing? "Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me." And now I'm losing the words. Y'all help me out. "With His redeeming love." That's right. We have that victory in Jesus. We need to remember that. We don't have any excuses that God is going to accept. All right? Here's the thing. What excuses are you using that are stopping you from chasing your line? "I'm too busy. I'm not qualified. I'm overqualified. I have too many problems. I don't have enough money. You know, the economy's not good right now, so I'm not going to help out. I'm not ready." Guess what? Newsflash, you will never be ready. Things will never be perfect. It takes faith to chase a lion. See, your lion is a God-given opportunity to seize your destiny, and your lion usually shows up at the worst time in life. How many of you have ever said, "Okay, what's going to happen next?" this broke, that broke. I don't know what's going to happen next, God, but I'm done with it. Guess what? You can't be done with it. You have to keep moving. God is going to be there to help you out. See, when Benaiah found himself face to face with a lion in a pit, he did not see a 500-pound problem. He saw a lion skin hanging in his tent. That's what he saw. It didn't bother him a bit. Here's a question for you. What do you see while in the pits of life? I want to remind you of this. Matthew 19:26, but with God, all things are possible. See, there are two types of regrets. There's regrets of action, wishing you had not done something, which are sins of commission. And then there's regrets of inaction, wishing you had done something, which are sins of omission. See, God is just as concerned about the sins of omissions, things we should have done for His glory. We need to remember that. God wants us to be involved. And I know there's certain things that we can't do, and there's certain things. Of course, my grandmother always told me that can't don't live here. That's not proper English, but that's what she told me 1,000 times a day when I told her I couldn't do something. See, lion chasers do not let their fears and doubts keep them from doing what God has called them to do. Instead, lion chasers jump into the pit with the lion. They go for it. How many of us in this room are standing at the edge of a pit of life, standing at the brim of what I like to call our kairos moment, or our critical moment, and fear is holding us back? And our minds are calculating everything. We're thinking about this is not adding up. And so we fail to chase our lion and leap into the pit, and we miss a divine opportunity. See, like many people, we may have a confession of faith, but we fail to leap into the pit and slay their lion because it causes them to miss their moment. Please don't miss your moment because you're afraid of something. Let God take you by the hand and lead you to where you need to go. See, Benaiah took a leap of faith and followed that lion he was chasing into a pit. He also took a risk in life and leaped into that pit and slew his lion. See, jumping into a pit to slay your lion may seem crazy, but it might be just God. Think about that. Excuse me. The Apostle Paul understood this kind of commitment and God's faithfulness as he chased his lions and he jumped into his pits of life. What did Paul say? That he was beaten, he was shipwrecked, he was stoned, he even got bit by a snake. But God pulled him through everything. He said this in 2 Timothy 4:17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that through me the message might be fully known and that all of the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. See, this spiritual principle does not just apply to preachers and ministry. It applies to every believer. And it applies to every arena of life, family, career, business. I made a statement earlier that opportunities come out of the pits of life. See, Benaiah did not only have a lion in his hand, he had his future in his hand too. Look at the result of Benaiah chasing this lion. Look at the result of Benaiah taking that leap of faith and jumping into his pit. Look at the result of Benaiah killing this lion. 2 Samuel 23:22 says, such were the exploits of Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and he too was as famous as the three mighty men. He was held in great honor than any of the 30, but he was not included among the three, and David put him in charge of his bodyguard. See, Benaiah walked into his destiny. Benaiah walked into his purpose of life. Benaiah saw his dream and calling began to manifest. See, he saw his lion as a divine opportunity, resulting in Benaiah being put in charge of King David's bodyguards, and he became the head of security. Think about that. That was not an easy task there. See, there's a difference between a transcript and a resume. Think about this. A transcript reveals what you know. A resume reveals what you have done. Can you imagine King David is sitting there and he's going through these resumes for all these guys that want this job. And he's sitting there and he pushes all those transcripts to the side of people who applied to be the head of his security. And then King David pulls out the resume of Benaiah, and it reads like this. That he was a valiant warrior. He did many heroic deeds, which included killing two champions of Moab. And another time on a snowy day, he chased a lion down into the pit and he killed it. Also talked about him taking on the big Egyptian warrior. See, don't forget, here's the thing. David was a lion killer too. 1 Samuel 17:34, but David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and I struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear." See, as David read Benaiah's resume, memories were stirred. An anointing of a lion chaser was stirred, and he knew that Benaiah was his man. See, the world is looking for lion chasers. The kingdom of God is looking for lion chasers. God doesn't want us to be on the sidelines. He wants us to be in the battle, in the fight. Your employer is looking for a lion chaser. See, this is the door to your future, your destiny. Your promotion will come your way when you conquer your fears and you quit making excuses and begin to chase your lion and then take a leap of faith into a pit of life and slay that lion. See, we need to defeat the powers of darkness that hold us back. We need to conquer the sin, the habit that has you running in fear. We need to seize the dream, the calling, the promotion that God has ordained for our lives. We need to seize the day. We need to seize that opportunity, that moment. We need to watch for that divine door of opportunity to open in our lives. See, lion chasers are not spectators. They take steps of faith. They get into the midst of spiritual warfare. See, lion chasers know how to jump into the pits of life, slay their lion, and walk into their God-ordained destiny. Question for you, what lion has God called you to chase today? You know, I don't know how long you've chased your lion, but I do know that you will have to chase that lion into a pit of life and then be willing to face your fears. You need to conquer your doubts and put away all your excuses. And I also know that the Spirit of God will come down upon you as did Benaiah, because here's the thing. We're the anointed of God. We not to just chase lions, but to slay your lion and to see a dream come to pass as you walk into your God-ordained destiny. Are you saying today, "God, I don't think I can do that"? Or are you saying today, "God, I've got too many things going on in my life"? Are you saying today, "God, I'm just really not sure about that"? Whatever it is in life, you need to throw those fears away. You need to step into the destiny that God has given you as a child of God. You need to take that victory that Christ has already won for you. That's why Jesus died on the cross for us. Because He wants us to take these problems or these lions in our lives, and He wants us to kill them. Because guess what? Worrying about these problems are not going to do a thing, is it? We can worry about things and we can go through life and say, "God, I don't think I can do that." Mm-mm. God knows that you can do anything that you put your mind to. Whether it be teaching a Sunday school class, whether it be sharing your faith to someone that you work with. What are you doing in your life to open up these problems and turn them into opportunities? Or are we looking to God in our daily lives and saying, okay, God, what can I do to share your love today? We need to jump in that pit just like Benaiah did. We don't need to fear anything. God is going to be there to help us. God is always going to be there to help us. Is it going to be easy? No, it's not. But that's why we have the body of Christ, so we can encourage one another. We need to have that victory today, y'all. We need to move forward. We need to be thinking about how many children we can bring in for Bible school so they can know about Jesus. We need to be thinking about how many adults that we can go into our neighborhood and invite them to church. How many coworkers that we know that they're hurting, but we're too afraid to tell them about the faith that we have in Jesus. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but He has given us a spirit of power and of might and of glory. We need to remember that today. What lion are you chasing? Let me pray for us. Father God, I thank You for this morning. I thank You for this time that we can come and get into Your Word. God, I ask You just to continue to be with us, to lead us and guide us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.